Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for coming to share the Dharma.
各位早上好，谢谢今天来听佛法。
I'm curious, how many of you have heard of the Lotus Sutra?
我想请问有多少人听过《法华经》
？Okay. Right. And how many have read it?
多少人已经读过《法华经》
？Oh, that's very good. not easy.So I chose to speak about the Lotus Sutra because of its message of inclusivity, gathering everyone in, and it's something I think that's important for our times.
我选择今天讲法华经是因为它的包容性，那它含摄所有的众生，特别是在当今的社会和时空中，这个是非常有用的一本经典。
The Lotus Sutra has a very powerful but sometimes hard to explain message. And I'm going to encapsulate it in just this one quote from the Lotus Sutra, which I'm going to read now, which the Buddha declares the nature of this new teaching that he is presenting in the Lotus Sutra. And he says, within the Buddha lands of the ten directions,There is the Dharma of the only one vehicle. There are not two, nor are there yet three, save where the Buddha, preaching by resort to expedience and by merely borrowing provisional names and words, draws the beings to him.
佛陀在这本经典里边有一个非常重要的信息要传达。那以经中的一段记文而言，就是十方佛土中唯有一乘法，无二亦无三，除佛方便说，但以假名字引导于众生。
Okay, so a lot of these terms that I mentioned, the two, three, one vehicle, will become clearer as I go through the talk. So.It's for this reason, because of that quote and the whole power of the sutra, that the Lotus Sutra is celebrated as the king of all sutras. In Juryi, the great master of Tiantai, who died in the 6th century AD, in his estimation, he categorized the Dharma and its development into five periods and eight teachings. And the Lotus Sutra stands at the pinnacle.Of the fifth and highest period. It contains and expands upon all the previous teachings. And I will be concentrating on the first two of 28 chapters, chapters 1 and 2. The first is called Introduction, and the second is called Expedient Means. And I take both of these chapters as an introduction because the first chapter heralds the coming of a great teaching, the Lotus Sutra itself,And then much more information in an introductory and explanatory nature comes in the second chapter, which explains how the teaching is spread using expedient means, employing the ultimate wisdom of the Buddha. And when I give this summary, I'm condensing a lot of information into just a couple sentences that I just gave you, because in the translations that I consulted, these two chapters cover more than 40 pages.
这边刚才提到有一层、二层、三层，我在之后的讲经里边会提到。那《法华经》被称为注经之王，天台智者大师所说的五十八教。判摄法华经是五十中的最高层次，第五十，那含摄并更深入的阐述之前的教化。我今天会着重讲二十八品的前两品，续品第一和方便品第二。我把这两品合为续品，因为第一品主要是预示佛陀即将开示大法，那法华经第二品主要阐述佛陀如何通过他的究竟智慧以方便法来教化众生。我在准备今天的讲座的时候，是参阅了大量的文字，把许多的信息结为一句或两句话。那我在我参考的三种版本之中，前两章所覆盖的都要超过40页的经文。
So the Lotus Sutra points to a truth that both includes and transcends a variety of different teachings, so that it takes a little bit of time to get your bearings when you start to deal with the sutra. The language, imagery, vast numbers, metaphors, theatricality, and parables also demand a certain level of patience and deep contemplation if they're going to make sense. Even though there are a number of chapters that may stand alone, almost as sutras themselves, the entirety of the sutra reinforces the Buddha's message that there is one vehicle, not three, that leads to Buddhahood.
法华经直指实相, 它含摄并超越其他各种教法, 所以是需要一点时间来弄清楚。 经中所使用的语言, 图像, 就是大量的数字, 比喻, 类比, 也需要一定的耐心和深入的观察来明白。 尽管经中的有极品是可以独立成章, 自成经典, 整体的法华经更深入阐述了佛陀带给我们的信息, 唯有一乘, 即是佛乘, 并无三乘。
What's special about this sutra? The Lotus Sutra welcomes everyone. It does not discriminate against any group for the most part. There are some little discrepancies here and there, but the basic message of the sutra is that everyone can become a Buddha and indeed is destined not just for enlightenment or nirvana, but for Buddhahood itself.
这本经的特点是什么呢? 法华经含摄每一位众生, 在其主要的经文当中, 对任何种类都没有分别, 可能会有一些小的差别, 但经典基本信息是每个人都能成佛, 而且注定一定成佛, 并非只是开悟或者进入涅槃, 而是成就佛道。
So the Lotus Sutra can help us develop faith in practice by listening to its teachings and looking deep within ourselves to find the truths that we can access now, and to understand that there are greater truths that we will come to know as we practice. Sherfu would always tell us that when he was meditating and experienced a profound insight, he would say to himself, "This is not my destination." In the same way, the Lotus Sutra points to the deepest truths that may be beyond us at the moment.
通过对法华经的学习可以帮助我们对修行建立信心，并深入了解我们自身。通过修行来寻求了解真理。师父曾经告诉我们，当他禅修有更深入的体验的时候，他会对自己说：“这还不是终点。”同样，法华经所指出的究竟实相，或许也不是我们目前可以体认的。Okay,
so dealing with the moment. There is a tendency to look at a religious text, a scripture, or a historical document as advocating a doctrine or describing a series of significant events, often miraculous, that happened long ago and far away, in a galaxy long ago far away. However, as a practitioner, I don't look at sutras that way. Joseph Goldstein, the famous insight meditation teacher, said that he reads sutras as instructions, not simply as descriptions.
我们会有倾向地认为宗教经典就是来叙述一系列发生在很久以前的重大事件，或是一篇历史记载来推广某种教义。然而作为修行人，我不这么看待经典。内观著名的禅修老师Joseph Goldstein曾经说，它是经典为修行的指导说明，而不是描述。而我会进一步说， 当你在听到或是唱诵、阅读经典的时候，在那个当下就是佛陀在开示经典，当下所接受传递的信息就是指导说明。I
will take one step further and say the sutra can be regarded as taking place at the moment when you are hearing, chanting, or reading it. The message or instruction wants your attention right now. No sutra opens with anything like, "Today, July 8th at 3 p.m., 525 BCE, the Buddha entered such and such a city." No, the Lotus Sutra opens, "Thus have I heard. At one time, the Buddha was dwelling in the city of Rajagriha on Gridirakuta Mountain, together with 12,000 great bhikkhus. We don't know the exact time, and whereas it happened in a particular part of India, we don't know the exact location. We really have just the power of the Buddha's words. Of course, the sutra contains an audience and a questioner among other components.
所以在我认为，就是当你在阅读经典的时候，那个当下佛陀就在开示经典，就在对我们做修行的指导说明。没有一本经典开篇会说今天是几月几号下午几点，是公元前多少年，佛陀来到怎样的城市，没有的。法华经开篇是如是我闻，一时佛住王舍城奇舍树下，与大比丘众万二千人聚。我们不知道确切的时间及确切的地点，我们只是真实感受到佛陀开示的力量。当然经典有描述与会的大众以及提问者。
You can't see it perhaps in this graphic that says truth, but it's made out of little statements that all say lies. So this is one of the things we have to figure out when we're listening to a talk. Lies or truth. So let's
You see that?
Yeah. So let's look at the way we might feel or react when we encounter the sutra and try to listen to its message. In our normal lives, we may have surprises, but generally we're on familiar territory with our family, friends, people in the office, and people we meet on the street. We have expectations of how people may act. We're often wrong, but we have expectations nevertheless.
所以就像我们看刚才那个图片，你看到的可能只是 truth 这样一个词，你没有看到组成这 truth 这个词是都是 lies， 就是你没有看到那些词。对，让我们来看一下，我们是读诵经典啊，或者听到经典所传播的信息的时候的感受或回应。在我们平常生活中，我们或许会有惊喜，但大多数时间都是在自己熟悉的范畴内。我们的家人和我们的家人、朋友、公司的同事，或者是在街上遇到什么人，对他们的行为，我们都会预料得到，尽管经常预料错。
So I want to make a little graphic comment here. You can see we are talking about three vehicles. The Buddha wasn't really talking about cars like this, but he does then talk about one vehicle. See, and here you can't even see what it is. So you're inside the teachings. You can translate that.
就是佛陀有谈到三乘嘛，就是三乘在英文来说，他们翻成是 vehicle 就是车辆的意思。所以刚才你们看到那个屏幕上有三辆车子，这并不是佛陀所指的车子。可是从最后佛陀要说的是一乘佛法，那就是只有一辆车。刚才Harry 有看那个图画，可是大家并不知道那一乘的那个车子到底是什么车子。
So every once in a while in our normal lives, we may meet someone who is famous, a celebrity or something. We might meet a political figure, a rock star, a famous author, but the Buddha?It's not very likely.
我们在日常生活中隔三差五的，或许在路上你会遇到一位政治人物，或是摇滚歌星，或是一名有名的作家，但会不会遇到佛陀呢？大概不大可能。
So we try to stay in the present moment, and this is a picture of supposedly where the Buddha gave his talk, Vulture Peak, and there's a rock star, right, who we, if we're lucky, we might meet. But the point is we're encountering different kinds of beings, different entities than we will ever encounter in real life, but they're portrayed in the sutra.
所以刚才你可以看到那个在屏幕上有就是所以佛陀对我们的教导就是要活在当下。那刚才你们也看到佛陀讲经的地方有一张图片啊，这边主要是要讲是说，我们所遇到的不同的人，各种各样的人，但是我们从来没有遇到过佛经中所说的那些人物。
Yeah, so I wanted to spend a little time in talking about how the sutra opens. It's very typical with many different people, kings, gods, different creatures, and sometimes we just gloss over it. But we can look and see all of the different kinds of beings that the Buddha is addressing. Garudas, great birds. These are Gandharvas, celestial magicians, and Kanaras, half man, half horse, and Yakshas, demons. These are all addressed in the Lotus Sutra and in many other sutras. And once again, what I'm stressing here is the inclusivity of the sutra. The sutra includes things that we would never dream of, but everything is accepted and respected.
We 想花点时间来讲佛经是如何开始的。 一般佛经开始都会讲与会者，就参与的不同的人。 那法华经是特别，他来参加法会的有来不同的众生。 那些众生很多都是我们难以想象的。 这其中包括有佛、罗汉、菩萨。 也还有包括天人、龙王、紧拿罗、钱达婆、迦楼罗、夜叉、摩诃罗伽。那紧拿罗是半人半马的那个众生，钱达婆是音乐神，迦楼罗是大鹏金翅鸟。Does
this seem real to you? It's a fair question. Imagine if you met one of these guys in the subway, you would certainly take notice. Does it seem like a story, something made up, or is it something that you can relate to?
所以这些众生对你来说是不是真实的? 你可以想象如果你在坐地铁的时候遇到这样的众生, 你们会怎么样的感受? 这些都是很合理的问题, 对于这些我们没法想象的人物, 我们是不是感觉这简直就是编出来的神话?
But if you recognize what a sutra is and how important the message is at the time, and at the same time how difficult and subtle the message is, you can look deeply into what's presented and find that it's more familiar than you think. Consider what's in your mind at this moment. Well, we're not on the subway right now, but here are people in their everyday lives, right? People, friends, situation, worries, all of which are not present in this room. If you take a moment to ponder what's actually going on in your mind right now as I'm speaking. Hopefully you'll listen to a little of what I'm saying, but there are probably many other impressions and ideas and things from the past that are crowding into your mind. So the Lotus Sutra invites you to expand the world that you're familiar with into something else.
但是当你认识到这本经在讲什么的时候，而且它所传递的信息是如此的微妙和不容易理解，你就会想深入了解经义。随后慢慢你就会觉得这本经其实要比你想象中的亲切得多。如果现在你观察一下你现在心里在想什么事情，是你的朋友啊，你的家人，随后 你的所有的担忧，这一些其实都并没有在现在这个现场，可是它却是你心里的一部分的记忆。法华经是邀请您来扩展你所熟悉的世界，进入未知的世界。So
when we are listening to a sutra like this, we're working with what's verbal and what's beyond verbal. We're working with ideas and what's beyond ideas. And we're trying to be able to tolerate incomprehensibility and develop what's called anupatika dharma kshanti, patience with the unborn, unconditioned nature of things. We don't really know what we're looking for. Is it a feeling, a concept, an experience? We don't know, and that's why we are looking.
听这样的经典其实是超越文字的。 那事实在对这样的经典的修学，就像是体认所谓的无声法忍，就是体认，就是以信心为基础来体认这些不可思议的情形，并在 就是在这些疑问当中继续修行。
So I want to make a point that sometimes in dealing with the sutra, and especially one like the Lotus Sutra, you can almost look at it as if you're dealing with a Watto. It's planting a question in your mind, an investigation, something that you're seeking. And I used this logo of what is wu, which is something that many of us use. And in this particular case, I'm happy to say that I can actually tell you what wu is, because this is the logo for Western Union.
So, 学习法华经就好像是在参一个话头，就有一个问题，就那个疑问一直在那边不断的继续。那我们这边就是主要参的话头是什么是无？那就像是在不断的在寻找这个答案，就像这个图片里边的无。可是这个无我是知道答案的，它是指 West Union。
Western Union。
嗯。
Yeah.
West Union 西联会。
So, now I would like to get into what the main topic of the talk is, which is inclusivity. And I'm dividing inclusivity into a number of areas. Doctrinal, emotional, social, spatial, temporal, conceptual, and expedient means, and go through them as quickly and simply as I can. So, first thing, which is very important, and will explain how I introduced this talk with the quote from the Buddha about there being just one vehicle, not three. But in order to understand what that means, let's first talk about the vehicles as we know them.
我们今天主要是要讲《法华经》的包容性，它涵盖面有包括到经义、情感、社会、时空、世间法、真俗二谛的结合和方便法门。那就像今天刚开始的时候，我们谈到《法华经》主要是讲唯一佛乘而非三。那在介绍唯一佛乘之前，我们先来了解一下所谓的三乘。
So these three vehicles have often been looked at as really different domains, in a sense almost that didn't have anything to do with one another. So let me go over them. And I'm starting with what's considered sometimes the second vehicle, because it's the easiest one to talk about, and that's the Pratyeka Buddha. These are sentient beings who have reached a high level of enlightenment by their understanding of dependent origination. They seem to exist only in times and places where no Buddha exists. They do not teach. However, there is no special interest group of Pratyeka Buddhas that I know of. So it's not like they are a group that might discriminate against others or be the target of others' discrimination. There's no such thing as a Pratyeka Buddha Facebook page.
所以就三乘而言，他们是属于不同的范畴，之间完全没有矛盾。那这三乘，我想从第二个圆觉乘开始讲，因为这最容易来解释。圆觉乘就是由观十二因缘而悟无常得解脱的圣者，他们是存在于没有佛陀的时代，他们并没有特别的就是兴趣来称之为所谓的圆觉，他们也没有所谓的竞争者，不需要去跟其他的就是修行人来做一个划分。我也不存在所谓的圆觉乘的 Facebook 这样的一个面书，这样一个平面平台。
Okay, so here's the first vehicle, the Theravadin. And I have a picture of, this is the Buddha entering Parinirvana, right? The Buddha passing into extinction, which is not one of the understandings of the one vehicle. So that's really does distinguish this as being the earliest teachings. So finding the proper label for this group is a problem. As many of you know, the term Hinayana is pejorative, something made up by certain Mahayana practitioners. Generally, the term points to the early practice of Buddhism that developed in certain countries in Southeast Asia and which used a particular language, Pali, to record the teachings. There were a number of groups, most of which have died out, that fit into this category. There was never a group that called itself Hinayana. And my Buddhist studies began in the Theravadan tradition, which does have its core teachings around the early texts. However, today, Theravadan, like Mahayana practice, is a vibrant tradition with great accomplished teachers. And I continue to have great love and respect for that tradition. So I take the use of the term Hinayana to be a polemical strategy and an expedient means, especially in the Lotus Sutra. And as the translator Red Pine notes, that a Theravadan can have a Hinayana attitude, as can a Mahayana, meaning very self-directed. So the term, the way that I understand it and the way that I'm going to use it, points to an attitude as opposed to a person or a group of people.
我们现在来讨论第一个就是声闻称。在声闻称有两种讲法，一种是称之为小称，那小称是由大称的菩萨来称呼的。那对这样的一个就是名称是不是合理，其实一直是大家来讨论的。就这个名称所主要指向的是早期的佛陀的教义，主要是在东南亚的一些国家先流行。那他们所使用的语言是巴利文来记录所有的这些教化。其中的其实一些群体已经不在了，已经消失了。但他们确实也是属于这一类早期佛教团体。没有任何一个团体是自称为是小乘的。那一般来说我们都称之为南传。所谓南传，它的主要的教材经典主要是早期佛陀的教化。那今天其实很多的南传的老师就像大乘佛法的修行人一样，他们有非常有成就和伟大的老师正在不断的教学工作。我自己也是从南传进入佛门的，那我对这个传统也是非常的喜欢，非常的恭敬。所以我认为要称之为小乘还是只是一个方便的说法，特别是在法华经里面。
Our tradition, of course, is Mahayana, and I think we're pretty familiar with it, that we have the ideal of the Bodhisattva. There are different texts and different sutras and some different traditions of practice. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the tension between these two, the Hinayana and the Mahayana, and then I'm doing that so I can show how that gets wiped away with the Lotus Sutra. So, in general, the Mahayana argument against the first vehicle is that its focus is too narrow, that practitioners selfishly seek their own salvation only, and that their highest attainment, the arhat, falls short of the ultimate. They recognize only the emptiness of the self, not the emptiness of all dharmas, all phenomena. Additionally, there was the Mahayana view that the early schools were centered on monastics only, and their discussions had become very esoteric and left the common people behind. Some of their discussions struck some people in a way that was likened to the famous speculation of how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. So I'm just saying that these attitudes exist. I'm not saying that they're right at all. I'm just saying that these are attitudes that exist about the Theravadan practice.
当然我们这边是修行大乘佛法的，那菩萨就会使用不同的方法来教化。那我们现在先讨论一些这两者就是所谓 南传佛法跟那个大乘佛法的一个差别。那一般的大乘大乘佛法的修行人会说，南传的小乘佛法是太狭隘，只是一个它主注重在对自身的解脱，那只是体证到人空，并没有体证到法空，并且大乘佛法是早期的那些学派，就是他们主要是出家修行人，并且他们所采用的生活方式是离群的，是属于是隐士的，但这个更多的就是在讨论他们的修行的态度上。
So on the Theravadan side, just so you know, I'm not taking sides. There were many arguments against Mahayana teachings, and this is something reported in a book by Donald Lopez, an article, The Lotus Sutra and Fiction, where he quotes the 6th century Indian scholar Bhava Viveka, and in his work called The Blaze of Reasoning, and he enumerates the Hinayana arguments against the Mahayana. So this is something interesting to hear. First, the Mahayana sutras are not included in the traditional Tripitaka. So that's one argument against them. The traditional, then, that's the traditional collection of the Buddhist teachings. The Mahayana say that the Tathagata, the Buddha, is permanent, and that contradicts the dictum that all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. And they say Buddha nature is all-pervasive, and so that does not relinquish a belief in the self. And because the Mahayana say the Buddha did not pass into nirvana, it suggests that nirvana is not the final state of peace, and according to their teachings, this is wrong. And the Mahayana belittles arhats. And the Mahayana says that Shakyamuni was just an emanation, and that perverts the entire teachings. And the Mahayana says that great sins can be entirely absolved, and that contradicts the law of karma. So the Buddha, these mainstream practitioners believe, didn't set forth the Mahayana. It was done by demons to deceive.
，当然，在南传这方面对大乘佛法也有他们的观点。那他们有很多的论坛来对大乘佛法进行就是驳斥。其中有一位叫 Donald Lopez， 他在《法华经及其神秘性》的这篇著作里边有提到。说就是以南传观念来看大乘佛法，首先大乘的经典并没有在三藏里面，那传统的佛教的是三藏是传统佛教的一个所有的教典的集合，大乘佛法是说如来藏是常，那这个有违于所谓所有法所有现象都是无常的观点。那他们还说就是佛性是含摄一切，这在这一点他们就没有谈到一个无我这个观念。那又因为还有是大乘佛法说佛陀并没有进入涅槃，这样就暗示说涅槃并非是最后的解脱，这个讲法也是错误的。那大乘佛法也贬低阿罗汉称，但大乘佛法中提到释迦牟尼佛是一个示现，只是为了来传递他的所有的教法。大乘佛法还提到说，罪就是重罪是可以。业是可以消，完全被消融的。那这点也跟那个所谓的 业力是有冲突的。所以就佛陀这一些主要的修行人相信，他们并不认为大乘佛法是佛陀所教，其实是由魔来传递的。
Bhava Viveka refutes all of these claims, all of these ideas about how the Mahayana might be invalid. But the Lotus Sutra resolves all of these issues by proclaiming the one vehicle, which is not different from and not quite the same as all of these three earlier vehicles. In other words, there's no refutation necessary. And also note that in the early years of Buddhist development, these seeming divisions were less severe than they seem now. Early travelers report finding both Hinayana and Mahayana practitioners in the same monastery. So now with this, we've concluded that the doctrinal inclusivity, everything is accepted in the Lotus Sutra.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. Just in Indian scholar.
Okay. 那位印度学者Bhava Viveka 他基本上反驳了所有的这一些所谓的论点。而且法华经自身他把这一些问题都全部都解决了。那唯一佛乘并不等于并不是与其他三乘有差，而是包含其他三乘。那这一些就此而言，这些争论都是不需要的。而现在可以看到，许多的南传的修行人跟大乘佛法的修行人都在同一个寺庙里边一起修行。
Okay, so now I'm going to turn to emotional inclusivity, which is a kind of interesting topic when you talk about a sutra. You don't usually think about the emotional content within the sutra, but this is another reason that I think the Lotus Sutra is fitting for our times. It recognizes and accepts a whole range of human emotions. There is great joy. Some of the highest practitioners actually dance happily when they receive the Buddha's teachings. They marvel at getting what they had never got before. Many practitioners are also described as abiding in peace and tranquility.
那我们现在想讨论的是法华经包含其包容它所有的包含情感部分，那这在很多经典里边是很少提及的。这其实也是法华经对这个在这个时代非常适合的原因，因为它讨论了并认可很多情感的存在。那最大的快乐是解脱的快乐，是那些大成就者在接受到佛陀的教化的时候所显现的那种愉悦。他们的情感，他们的修行达到一个更深的体验。那这些修行人，他是他们的心是一直是处在平安跟愉和平跟宁静之中的。
There are also many negative emotions. Even Sariputra harbored doubts because he thought Mara was pretending to be the Buddha. And he even expresses this right to the Buddha's face. You know, are you the Buddha or are you the devil? The message was so stunning to him. And this is perfectly okay for him to express this. He couldn't believe the teaching that everyone can become a Buddha. The Buddha deeply understands how radical his teaching may seem, and he knows how people might react to it. In many of the parables, and of course the Lotus Sutra is very famous for its parables and its stories that are presented in the sutra, people are depressed and discouraged. They lack confidence, and they have poor self-image. The Buddha describes arrogance and pettiness and cruelty, and a whole host of other faults, including ignorance. But rather than set those up as evil examples, the sutra shows that these negative states are all part of the spiritual journey. there is a rich merchant whose son wanders away and falls into poverty and loses sight of his true abilities. The father continues to show love for his son and works with him in very skillful ways until he's ready to receive his birthright. In the Lotus Sutra, all such negative states are viewed with love, compassion, and understanding.
那经典同时也提到很多的负面情绪，即使是在经文当中，舍利弗也对佛陀产生疑问，觉得佛陀来讲述说，就是大家都可以成佛这个事实，他觉得这是由魔来讲，在讲法的那个不是佛，是魔，他不相信每个人都可以成佛，那佛陀是非常了解他这样一个教法会产生的一个反应。 因此在这个《法华经》里边，佛陀运用了很多比喻来鼓励那些没有信心并且非常沮丧的修行人。在这个经典里面，其中也还包括许多就是非常残忍的人，佛陀都一概的教授他们都可以成佛。那在 在经典里边有一个很有名的比喻，就是长者穷子玉。那是在说一位非常有钱的富豪，那他的儿子就从家里逃世，变得非常贫穷，而且对自己所具备的能力没有信心。那这个父亲就显示了对他非常慈爱，并且跟他一起就把他带回家里。 教他各种技能，那这从这里就可以看到，《法华经》里面就谈到，是负面，所有负面情绪都是在修行路上必经必须会经过的一个过程。那他最终每个人都会成佛。这是《法华经》所显示的对所有负面现象的，就是慈爱和容忍。
Okay. So, and if we look further into how we might feel about negative emotions, underachievement, acting out and showing off, being lazy, we have to look no further than the end of the chapter. And here I have to tell you something that happened in the Lotus Sutra. And one of the things about giving a talk like this is there's so much kind of narrative material that if I went over that in detail, I couldn't do very much else. But one of the things that is central in the first chapter is that the Buddha emits a great light out of his urna, out of his forehead, which illuminates 18,000 realms of all the six realms from the lowest hells to the highest heavens. And much of what happens in the first two chapters is trying to explain what that means. So in explaining the nature of the light that the Buddha emitted, Manjushri, who is the one called upon to make this explanation, he explains that he has seen this many eons ago, and at that time it preceded the proclaiming and the teaching of this very Lotus Sutra. And of course the Lotus Sutra often talks about itself as it goes through chapter to chapter. So Manjushri further reveals that this happened when there was a Dharma teacher named Wonderful Light and his kind but lazy student Fame Seeker. Manjushri now announces that he was the Dharma teacher, Wonderful Light, and Maitreya was the Bodhisattva Fame Seeker. So Manjushri further announces that Maitreya will be the future Buddha in the world. So that's pretty good for an underachiever, right? From lazy bum to Buddha.
那我们进一步就是对负面的这一些情感，或者就佛陀进一步去讨论了，在经典讨论了这一些具有负面情感，或者是没有成就的人，或者是非常懒的人，非常喜欢那个炫耀的人，他们是如何来修行的？为了今天的开示，我其实做了很多的阅览，读了很多的经典。那在第一品，在前。 第一品主要是讲佛陀放光，放白毫相光，那照亮百千世界，来进行 开始说法。那在他放光的时候，就文殊师利，就大家都很疑惑，就问文殊师利菩萨，这样的光，佛陀这样放光是什么原因？那佛陀那蛮殊问文殊师利就解释说，在许多劫前以前，那时候他还是妙光菩萨，那个时候他是妙光菩萨，他曾经看到过同样放这样的光。那个时候有一位菩萨叫名利，他就只贪求名利，但非常懒于修行。那他在那个时候也同样在问妙光菩萨同样的问题。那这个所谓的名利菩萨就是现在的弥勒菩萨，因为如果看法华经，就是读第一品第二品里面，你可以看到是由弥勒菩萨来问文殊师利菩萨的。
Okay,
那弥勒菩萨将是未来佛，就可以看到，从这个例子就可以看到，在前就劫前弥勒菩萨还是一个非常重名利的这样一个修行人，可是在下一次他将是未来佛，下一尊来到世间成佛的菩萨，现在是菩萨，弥勒菩萨。
Thanks. Now in continuing speaking about negative emotions, I'm going to concentrate on an incident that happens in the second chapter of the Lotus Sutra. And in this second chapter, which is called Expedient Means, there is a time when the Buddha is about to reveal the new teachings, the teachings of the One Vehicle. And 5,000 arhats and monastics and lay men and women just get up and bow to the Buddha, and they walk out of the assembly. Just as he's about to speak, and the Buddha said that they had great sins and overweening pride, and the Buddha says that the assembly is now free of branches and leaves, and now only the steadfast and truthful remain.
所以在讲第二品方便品的时候，其中发生了一个事件，我想稍微描述一下这里面，就是他在佛陀即将要讲大法的时候，有五千位就是比丘就站起来，比丘跟在家众跟出家众就站起来，然后离开了现场。那这些人佛陀称他们是就业力很重，慢心很重。当他们离开以后，佛陀就说，现在在场的大众已经不再是小枝小叶，都是可以接受大法的修行人。
So as I mentioned, the sutra that we're listening to and contemplating is happening right now, and I want to make sure you turn your attention into how you react to these events, and that's I think very important, because it is kind of astonishing when you read it that somebody who's actually in the presence of the Buddha, who's about to hear a great teaching, can't handle it and walks out. It's really hard to believe. It's like there was an incident when after the Buddha was first enlightened, someone met him on the road and recognized that he looked interesting, but then just continued walking, just missed an entire opportunity.
那在这个时刻，就像我之前说的，在讲法的时候，就相当于当下就相当于佛陀在说法。那大家在听到这样一个事件的时候，请观察一下你们的心理反应是什么。那就是好不容易遇到佛陀的讲法，可是他们还没有听佛陀开始这些法，他们就已经站起来离开了现场。
Okay, so it's interesting when you see this, you might react with just reading a sutra, something happened so long ago, but you might react with astonishment, anger, disgust, and that's one way that you could react. But if you look deeper, you might see that these individuals were not ready to hear the Buddha's teaching, and the Buddha makes it a point in the Lotus Sutra to talk about that now he's ready to deliver this special teaching. And if we look still deeper, we might find that at one time or another in our lives, we might consider that we might have acted in such a way that we I'm talking about myself now, could have been one of those 5,000 that somehow you're overwhelmed. It looks like a very good opportunity, but you simply can't take it. So you walk out. And it's a question of not being ready and not having the proper understanding. And the Buddha, for his part, recognizing that if a teaching falls on deaf ears, it's hardly a teaching. You have to really listen. You have to contemplate and take it in before it has any meaning. And if we look deeper still, we can ponder the teaching of impermanence. Just because they walked out at that point doesn't mean their lives are over. Doesn't mean that at some other point they won't come back. And the same with us in our lives. When we've had setbacks or failures, it doesn't mean it's the end. It means that we can regroup and fight another day.
那我想请大家就是听到这样一个事件的时候看自己的反应，有些就会感到非常惊讶，或者说非常奇怪，这事情怎么会发生。那从另一个角度来说，也可以说这些人对接受大法并还没有就是准备好。那如果我们进一步看我们自己，或许我们过去，我这是在说我自己，我们过去自己也是其中的一员。当佛陀在讲法的时候，我们就那当下没有正确的知见，或者当下就不想听那个法，就离开了。那这但这都还是只是在修行过程当中的一个过程。到某一天，或许我们就还会再回来，再继续听法。那就像无常，就像佛经所说的无常，这并不说明我们一走就永远不会回来了，而是当时机成熟的时候，我们还是会回来听法。
Okay, now I am going to make a dramatic shift, and I do mean dramatic, from 2,500 years ago to right now. And I'm going to talk about something that's happening right here in America, and which most people who read the news know about. So it's still January 2019, right? And when I discuss this, I'm not leaving the Lotus Sutra for a moment, even though I'm talking about incidents that obviously don't occur there, but I'm trying to bring that spirit of inclusivity and understanding to something that's happening in contemporary America. So, on January 18th, there was an incident in Washington, D.C. that went viral on the internet. And this video showed that what seemed to be a confrontation between Nathan Phillips, a Native American elder, and Nick Sandman, one of a number of Covington High School students from Kentucky. And added to the mix, there were a group of black Hebrew Israelites who appeared to be shouting insults. In addition, the boys wore Make America Great hats, and the incident took place at the Lincoln Memorial, around which there was both an Indigenous People's March and a March for Life, attended by people against abortion. There was also a government shutdown at the time. The issue boiled down to an attribution of lack of respect for and prejudice of one side against the other. There really wasn't a substantive issue at the heart of this, only a perception of attitudes. And on the way here, I was listening to a report about this incident on the media, where many things were said, but one of the prime things is that people had to admit they simply didn't know what happened. That's kind of key in this. And so I'm kind of bringing this up to alert us to the way that we may react to various incidents. In the Lotus Sutra, 5,000 people walk out, and here's what seems like a confrontation, and it riles people up. But we as practitioners watch and see what our minds do with it so we don't get caught up in it.
我现在先从就是先讲一个最近发生的一件在美国一月份在美国发生的一件事情，那就是在1月18号那个礼拜在华盛顿在华盛顿有一个有发生了一件事件，是说， 一位原住民Nathan Phillips 和一个学生Kentucky 的一位学生发生了一个冲突，这样吗？对吗？那在这个更在同时是有一群人正是在他们是在林肯纪念碑那边做示威游行，要求就是反对那个堕胎，同时在这个同时又是政府关门，那这些所有的事件其实到最后都是因为彼此缺少尊重，并且对另外一面都有成见，那这个这很多都是出于一个态度的问题，是这所有的事情，我在东初的到今天到东初的路上，我又在看这些新闻，很多人其实不知道到底发生了什么事情，但这是一种提醒，是提醒我们在不同的事件中，在听到不同的事件中，我们采用的是怎么样的一种态度来看待这些事情。
So one important teaching of the one vehicle that the Lotus Sutra proclaims is not to hold prejudice, to recognize that we and all phenomena do not have self-nature. So there's really nothing to be prejudiced against. This doesn't mean that we can't take sides, but it does mean that we should be clear about what we manufacture with our own minds and what is real. And in view of impermanence, however wrong one group may have been, attitudes can change, sometimes for the worse, but with compassion and understanding for the better.
所以一佛乘主要的重点就是在于对任何人任何事都不要有成见，那都要看到所有的现象都其他无我自无自性，那这并不是说在事件发生的时候你不可以采取，就是你不可以有自己的判断或态度，但这并但而是说让我们清楚地看到在当下我们的心是怎么样运作的，那什么就是这是我们修行人所要时常一直在观察什么所谓的无常，那态度是可以一直变化，但最主要的是慈悲和了解，这样的话生活才会就是人与人之间才会有更多的和谐。
Okay, so now let's turn back to the sutra itself. And it may seem that this incident with the 5,000 people happened 2,500 years ago, and the video incident may seem to have happened last week, but when they are pondered by the mind, they are happening at this moment. Additionally, much of what the Lotus Sutra teaches is decategorization, moving away from labels and divisions. There is only one vehicle, not three. In the same way, we are one people, not really divided. I have a nice picture of that. We're only divided by our modes of thinking. And going even further, following the Lotus Sutra's teaching, we can start a process of de-reification. In other words, we no longer take our thoughts to be one and the same with reality.
那我们现在再回来谈那个经典本身，那个五千位听众离席是发生在2500年以前，那当我在重述的时候，这就好像是现在发生的一件事情，那就可以看到我们自己当下对这件事情的态度是什么。那《法华经》它所重点要告诉我们是无分别心，那要从对事情的判断跟切割中要离开，那也这也是所谓的唯一乘无三乘。那在我们习惯的模式，我们会去判断去加名字，去重新区别不同的人族的时候，我们要看到《法华经》的教义本身是要我们看清楚自己的想法， 跟事实是不一样的。
Okay, so that, that was, the inclusivity of emotions. And now as time is running out, I'm going to go through a few of these other topics of inclusivity fairly, quickly and then end up with, expedient means, which is one of the most important, aspects of the Lotus Sutra. So first I just want to talk about social inclusivity, that as the sutra begins, everybody is there. There's the Buddha, there are the great bodhisattvas, the great arhats, there is his aunt and his former wife and his son, and even there's King Ajah Shatru, who actually starved his father to death so that he could gain the throne. And he, at the end of his life, asked the Buddha for forgiveness, and even he is included.
我们刚才讨论了是法华经对情感的包容性，那我们因为时间的关系就稍微谈一下其他的几个包容性。那接下来我们要讨论的是社会的包容性。那在这一章续品第一章，佛陀在所参与法会的人士，他包括很多的他包括阿罗汉，包括菩萨，包括他所有的弟子，那这些还有一些就是非人。那在这些参与者里边有佛陀的婶婶，他的前妻以及他的儿子，同时也有阿舍王，那阿舍王是他的历史是曾经把他自己的父亲给饿死的这样的人。
So, and then the two most important figures in the Lotus Sutra, besides the Buddha, of course, are Manjushri, who many of you will recognize is the Bodhisattva of wisdom, the Bodhisattva of the pure and clear voice, the Bodhisattva who's associated with the teachings of Madhyamaka, and who represents one wing of the basic teachings throughout all of Buddhism is wisdom and compassion. So my, I'm sorry, I have Manjushri there. Wait, that was Manjushri. One second. There we go. So Nagarjuna, right, is, as the Madhyamaka figure, is associated with Manjushri, and Kublai Khan was considered himself a reincarnation of Manjushri. So that's the first very important character. And the idea that these bodhisattvas are in the Lotus Sutra just resonates and speaks volumes about what is going on deep within the sutra.
那另外两位主要在场的，在法华经中出现的主要人物是文殊师利菩萨和弥勒菩萨。那刚才有看到那位自称是文殊师利菩萨化身是的，
That's Manjushri.
所以主要是由他们两位来文殊师利是代表着智慧，以及对究竟法的根本理解，所以这两位菩萨的道场是说明了这个经典的重要性。
Okay, and then the next important figure is Maitreya, the future Buddha. And Maitreya, his name comes from Maitri, which is metta in Pali, means loving kindness, and represents all phases of love and compassion. So that also is central, foundational to the Lotus Sutra. And there's just a lot of information about Maitreya, but it's just good to note in terms of the social inclusivity, the inclusivity of the participants, of the characters, everyone in the Lotus Sutra, from the highest gods to the lowest kind of layperson, they're all included.
另外一个主要人物就是弥勒菩萨。那弥勒菩萨的名字是取名于慈，他弥勒本身的意思就是慈心。那他在经中也展现的是各个面的一个慈悲跟慈力的那个加持。那这本经最主要是要说明他参与者是在各个社会层面都有参与，那包括从最至高的神到一般的普通老百姓都有在法华经中出现。
And so there's also inclusivity of space and time. They are transcended. And there's of course a prophecy of people becoming Buddhas. And this has been happening in the past. It's happening in the present. Will happen in the future. All times become one.
那还有一个包容性，法华经所提到是对时间的包容性。那这里提到它对时间有超越性，那提到的是有众生在不同的时间段都可以成佛，包括在当下也可以成佛。
And there is a inclusivity of concepts within the Lotus Sutra, in that they're all transcended. And I have just one quote, which I think sort of could sum up. This is from another Indian work called the Vishesha Chinta, and it's called All Lies Are True. So Manjushri said, the god Brahma, is what you have been telling me the absolute truth? All words are true? And Manjushri says, are lies then also true, asked Brahma? They are, said Manjushri. And why? Good sir, all words are empty, vain, and belong to no point in space. To be empty and vain, and to belong to no point in space, is the characteristic of absolute truth. So in that sense, all words are true. Between the words of Devadatta, right, the great opponent of the Buddha, and the words of the Tathaga, the Buddha himself, there is no difference or distinction at all. How is this? All possible words are words of the Tathagata. There is no getting outside of him or outside what is so. Whatever can be said is able to say something only by dint of saying nothing at all.
那还有一个是对观念的，对所有观念的包容性。那在这里我想举一个例，是文殊师利跟那个Brahma 是在天，跟天之间的一段对话。他就问所以你跟是不是所有的谎言那是为印。
So that's the Indian response.
Yes.I don't know whether it's in Chinese.
所以有一位印度的印度学者曾说，所有的谎言都是真实。那在这一段的对话里面，文殊师利跟一位天王的对话里面就可以看到，天王就问文殊师利说，文殊师利菩萨，所以是不是所有你跟我讲的都是实相？文殊师利菩萨说，是所有的语言都是实相，那是不是所有的谎言也都是真实的？文殊师利说，是，所有的谎言也是真实的。为什么？因为所有的语言其性为空，是没有任何一个观念是可以在空间长存，所以空性本身是无助，无助和空性本身是绝对真实的一个特质。那从那个角度来讲，所有的语言文字都是真实的。就在这样一个对话里面，就是在如来跟那个 Devadatta is the
you know the villain
的对，在如来跟另外一位参与者的对话里边。他就提到是无分别，那所有的文字，所有可能的文字都是如来 如来的文字都是佛所说，并没有一个文字非佛所说。那这也是我们为什么说，所有的文字说了跟没说是一样的。
OK，
因为其性本空。
Okay, and now, to start to wrap up, I'm going to talk about expedient means, which, if you look at least the first two chapters of the Lotus Sutra, the most salient facts, the most important teachings are the one vehicle, which I've discussed, at some length, and expedient means, which is actually the name of the second chapter. So I'm going to do that in some detail, and hopefully that will be helpful. So, if you look at the Vimalakirti Sutra, you can see, and that has a chapter also called Expedient Means, that the layman, Vimalakirti, around whom the sutra is written, he has perfected the six paramitas, perfect control of his mind and body and devotion to the people around him. And Expedient Means is really the seventh paramita. In other words, you can't really do or enact expedient means properly unless you've completed the first six. So it's a very high attainment. Go ahead.
接下来我要花点时间来讨论方便，所谓的方便法门，这是《法华经》的重点。那在讨论方便法的时候，我们也可以同时来看《维摩诘经》。那在《维摩诘经》里边有提到，方便般若蜜为第七般若蜜，那是要在成就前六般若蜜的时候才可以进行，才可以修行方便般若蜜。那他所谓的维摩诘大居士，他是以整个身心都处在就是所谓的大涅槃状态来做这些来显现这一些功用。
Okay, but the Lotus Sutra, in the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha talks about expedient means from his point of view. That is, his wisdom and attainment cannot be directly known by a sentient being who is not a Buddha, and therefore there is no direct way to impart it. If the Buddha wants to teach sentient beings, he must do so at their level, and that means resorting to whatever means is feasible and is possible.
那在《法华经》里边，佛陀是从另外一面来讲方便法门。那他谈到是说，他的智慧和他的成就，是一般众生不可能了解的。那除非是佛，才可以直接了解到。所以他的对众生的教化所采用的方法，也不是一般众生可以知道的，只有佛可以知道。
So in the Tiantai framework for the Lotus Sutra.Placing it as one of the highest teachings. It's divided into core teachings and what are called trace or expedient mean teachings. And I think these correspond very well with what Thich Nhat Hanh calls the historical and the ultimate dimension. So he compares the historical to waves and the ultimate to the ocean. So Thich Nhat Hanh says that when people's eyes are fixed on the earth, looking at the trees, plants, hills, mountains, or each other, then we know they are in the historical dimension, the world of birth and death. When people look into space or into the parables and histories of the great sages, then we have entered the ultimate dimension. So this is the relative and absolute. So the trace teachings, the historical, are yi in Chinese, and the core teaching, bun.In Chinese, those are the ultimate teachings.
所以在天台的架构里面，对法华经的架构里面，把法华经分为本门跟寂门，那这跟那个一行禅师所讲的是非常相符。一行禅师有提到是所谓真谛跟熟谛，他所以他把所谓熟谛都比喻为是波浪，而真谛是形容为海水。一行禅师提到说，当人们的眼睛只是注重在地球上看到树木、植物、山 山丘和那个山丘以及彼此的时候，我们所处在的就是一种所谓的熟地。那而是生死的世界，只有当人们开始看到空，看到那些圣者的所为的时候，我们才可能慢慢的进入真谛。那他这边所说的熟地，其实就是《法华经》里所说的寂门。那他的真谛就是《法华经》所说的本门。
So in his book on the Lotus Sutra, which hasn't been translated into English yet, but Master Shengyan writes, "Yi, the trace, a mark, a vestige, means skillful or convenient. It is a tentative, for the moment way of talking, acting, and showing. It's like saying, my stomach really, really hurts. But really, to what degree does it hurt? What form does the pain take?How am I going to express it? No matter how I describe it, other people will have no way to experience what I experience. But if I don't say anything, there's no way that anyone is going to know that my stomach hurts. Furthermore, perhaps I let everyone know that my eyesight is not good. I don't see clearly. How will you imagine what that's like? And you won't know exactly how bad my eyesight is. Similarly, if I don't say anything,You're not going to know what I'm going through. This is ease, skillful means, and it is done for the purpose of leading people onto the Dharma path. So I have no choice but to make use of this kind of speech and apparent gestures to illustrate the true meaning.
那师父也有一本书是叫《绝妙说法》，这本书还没有翻成英文。那这在书里面，师父也提到，也对寂门有这样的一个描述。所谓寂门就是方便法门，那它是它是通过语言，通过行为，通过视线来展现或者来指向根本意的。那这就像一个比喻，就像我在说我的肚子痛，那我的肚子是痛到什么程度，这个痛是怎么样发生的，不管我怎么样的描述，其他人是不可能知道的，因为他们没有经验到。那只有当某个人跟我是同样的经验的时候，他们才会了解什么是肚子痛。那同样，我在告诉别人我的眼睛不好，看不见，看不清。那别人也只是想象我是怎么样的一个状况，是不可能知道的。那这本经文所谓的寂门这个方法，就是它的目的就是要通过语言文字来告诉大家有这样一个事情的发生，但这个事情发生怎么样的程度，需要修行者修行人自己去体验。
So it's very interesting that Sherfu uses two examples of distress, a stomach ache and poor eyesight, to illustrate how skillful means work. It reminds me of what the Buddha said in Chapter 2 of the Lotus Sutra.As an expedient, theatrical means, the Buddha seems to be perplexed. He has this teaching that no one can understand except the Buddha. He spends 3 weeks walking around the Bodhi tree, pondering what he should do. It doesn't seem worth the effort to try to teach his marvelous doctrine. But Brahma and Indra, the gods, descend from heavens to beg him,to do so. The Buddha makes a compromise. He would teach the three vehicles, what we've known all along before the Lotus Sutra. But with the Lotus Sutra, that compromise is no longer necessary. So the Buddha transcends the ordinary and the ultimate.
非常有意思，师父使用这样两个比喻来说明佛陀使用的方便法门来教导。那其实佛陀在最初的时候也是非常困扰，他应该如何来教导众生。他那时候曾经在当他开悟以后，在菩提树下，他走来走去，走了差不多三个礼拜，都没法知道该怎么样，接下来他要做什么。或者这样的一个大法， 是不是值得在这边教，因为大多数人是不会相信他的教法。那随后是天王从天降临，祈求佛陀在世间弘法。这时候佛陀就选择要做三乘教学，但是三乘教学就是为了引导众生进入佛门。那在《法华经》里面，这样的一种三乘教学已经是被废止了，是不需要了。他已经佛陀把方便法门以及究竟教法都完全超越来进行教导。
So Sherfu goes on further to say, the trace teachings, the skillful means, reveals a kind of manifestation of virtue. It's not really revealing the actual Buddha, and it does not express true Buddha Dharma.Because sentient beings have different capacities and inclinations, the Buddha makes use of certain words and phenomena and applies various skillful means and techniques to show Buddha Dharma. It's like the track left behind after you've walked on sand. It's a footprint that lets people see where the foot has been. It's not genuinely the foot itself.
那师父进一步在书中提到，方便法门其实是佛陀功德的示现，它并不是真正的佛性，也并不是真正的佛法，就是最真实的佛法。那因为众生的根器不一样，他们对修学的倾向不一样，所以佛陀运用不同的文字和现象，来使用这些方便法门，方便的技巧，来展现佛法给众生看。那这样就好像是我们就好像是走在沙上，你会留下痕迹，大家会看到你的脚印，但是这些脚印并非脚。
Okay, so now I'm going to give a fairly humorous example of expedient means. Ling Yun hasn't seen this yet, so I really put her under duress and not giving her much time to prepare. She's been doing a wonderful job. But this is an example from my past, and it's about a television show that starred two folk singers turned comedian called the Smothers Brothers. And they had a routine. One of them played guitar, the other one played the bass fiddle.And Dick Smother, the sort of sillier of the two, started to sing a song which the lyrics were, I fell in a vat of chocolate. And he sings this continuously. I'm not going to sing it, sorry. I fell in a vat of chocolate. I fell in a vat of chocolate. I fell in a vat of chocolate. He keeps repeating it. And then he says, and then I yelled, fire! And his brother said,Dick, why did you yell fire? And he said, who would come running if I yelled chocolate?
Smother兄弟这样一个电视剧。在那个电视剧里边，这两兄弟一个是有一位是弹吉他的，并且唱歌，那在一个场景中，那个叫 Dick 是吧，就一直在唱一个句子，就是我掉进了巧克力堆里，他就一直唱，可是到最后他忽然就大叫一声。起火了，随后他的兄弟就跑来问他，你干嘛要叫起火了？随后那个 Dick 就说，如果我不叫起火了，不会有人来叫我，不会有人来救我。那所以方便法门就像是，就像这个故事所说的，他只是要去指出什么的正确方法是，那不管是通过怎么样的方法。
很好。Okay. So in the Vimalakirti's chapter on expedient means, the layman Vimalakirti is described as having perfected all the paramitas, as I mentioned before, and he spends his time helping people of every walk of life, yet he has no attachments. He is honored by nobility, lay people, and the gods. And in order to spread the teachings, he pretends that his body has fallen prey to illness, so that everyone comes to inquire about his health. In terms of the Lotus Sutra, he would be seen as lying about his health, but not really lying because of his intentions and his actions. He then proceeds to talk about the body because he is ill. He proclaims that the body is an illusion, impermanent, and a source of great suffering. Instead, he recommends seeking the Dharma body because it is born of nothing but pure and spotless things, the six paramitas and the Buddha's wisdom, among other things.
那在维摩诘经方便法方便品里边，大居士维摩诘他是一位已经修行所有的波罗蜜十波罗蜜完全圆满的一个修行人。那他在他的每一个时间，他的所有的时间都是用来教化众生，而他自己没有任何的执着，他被那些圣者、居士以及天人所恭敬。那为了教化众生，他假装他生病了，这样所有的人都会来问候他，问候他的健康。那这个在《法华经》而言，他听上去好像是在撒谎，对他的健康进行撒谎，但其实因为他的用意和所以他的行为不可以认为这是一种谎，就是谎言。当他在讨论他自己的健康的时候，他的身体的时候，他是说他是病了，但他同时也指出这个身体是虚妄的，是无常的，是苦的根本来源。那同时他也指出所有的修行人应该以对法身就是只来对法亲近法身做一个来寻求，这样才是这样才是真正佛陀的智慧。
But in the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha makes a prophecy that all will attain Buddhahood. And he makes the Lotus Sutra itself the bridge of expedient means. Then he enumerates the many ways that one can turn to the one vehicle. People can make offerings to his remains, build stupas, adorn them, build mausoleums of stone, sandalwood, etc. Even little children can build sand stupas. All these have fulfilled the Buddha way. They can design and erect images, adorn images, paint Buddha images and adorn them. Little children can draw with their fingernails and all gain merit and fulfill the Buddha way. They can save countless beings and use flowers, incense, instruments, beat drums, make music. They can praise Buddha in songs, even while distracted with thoughts. An offering can be even a single flower or a painted image, and they will eventually see countless Buddhas. They can prostrate, join palms, nod their head. All will save countless beings and enter into nirvana without remainder, just as a fire dies out with no more firewood. All have fulfilled the Buddha way. That is the Buddha's expedient way to attract people. It is perhaps more open, dynamic, and welcoming than the description in Vimalakirti.
那在《法华经》中，佛陀就做这样的一种这样的一种称颂，就说要成就佛道，他所有的方便法门都可以使你最后成就佛道。那他里边提到很多的方法，就是最后可以归入一乘佛法。那其中包括如果有人供养舍利，那建筑佛塔，那恭敬佛塔，并且在以木雕或者小孩子在沙上就建一个佛塔的这样一个像，这些都将是他们成为未来成佛的因。那即使这些就做所有的这些画像，就小孩如果即使用他们的指甲在沙地里画佛陀的画像，都有他的功德，而必将使他们最后成就佛道。那通过这种方式，你可以供花，可以通过供花、供香、供乐器，随后音乐 就是歌颂，即使是散乱心的这样一个称颂佛名，都会是未来成佛的因。即使是只是对佛一个点头，礼拜恭敬合掌，都会使众生入无余涅槃。这所谓的无余涅槃，就像是烧尽的火不再有，烧尽的木炭不再有余。所有的人都将最后成就佛道，这是佛陀的方便法门，来希望所有的人都可以开始修行。在这点上是要比维摩诘经来的更宽广，就是更加具有包容性。
So my message today is that the Lotus Sutra has wisdom as deep as the ocean, much deeper than the ocean. And what I've tried to do is give you an introduction to some of the themes and some of the meanings and deeper meanings that are contained within the sutra. And I hope this might encourage you to look at it for yourself. There's an enormous amount of material on the Lotus Sutra, and it has been exceedingly popular in East Asia, and the opportunity to study it is quite wonderful. So I want to thank everyone for coming.
那我今天只是对佛法华经做一个简介。法华经的智慧是甚深，比智慧是比海洋还要深广。那希望通过这个机缘，大家可以开始接触佛法。那在法华经是在东南亚是非常流传非常广泛，在东亚是流传非常广泛。希望大家可以通过因为这个因缘了解一些法华经，并且对法华经的修行有更有信心。谢谢大家参加。
Okay, thank you, everyone.